It doesn't mean you're backslidden and horrible. It means God says, it's time. We're going to deal with this. So number one, rule number one, when God says it's time, we're going to deal with it. How do you know it? You lose your peace. Everything, even from your past, you start to try to run to, like if it's run away or blame someone else or I don't need anybody or I'll take care of, you know, whatever your thing was. And we got a teaching on all of it, I'm sure. All of a sudden, that'll start racing through your mind, feeling haughty or superior or feeling condemned. Starts happening inside of you, like, what is happening? And so don't be alarmed if you're asking for God's will. He's shaking you. Don't expect an angel to literally come in, pick you up, and go. It shakes you because it does. Why is it shaking? Because it gets everything that doesn't belong there that's loose to fall off. And sometimes, you know, when those apples aren't quite wanting to fall off, you got to shake that tree hard. But sometimes when they're just so ready to fall off, you barely touch it and they fall. So in the last month, I've had some really shaking hard. And I've had some just, oh, that was easy. Does anybody get what I'm talking about? Yay! It's being sanctified. It's being perfected. It's working out your salvation with godly fear and trembling. So quit blaming the devil. Quit blaming everybody else. Just go to God and say, what's going on? And then do what he shows you. So anyway, so in the midst of this, so I start this conversation and I'm saying, how come no one prophesies on Sunday mornings? What's wrong with you all? You prophesy here, you fall out in the road, you're shaken in the road, you can't even, you know, talk because you're drunk in the Holy Spirit. You got all these things going on and it's all in you and I've done all I can do and I don't understand why. And then I jump on people who hide in the back corner on Sunday morning because they want to be hit. And I just kind of go at it. And I could feel something wrong. But in this shaking process, I kind of just let it go. And finally, I go, the way I'm doing this isn't right. So I start bringing it back around and people are getting defensive and things are happening. And by the time it's said and done, seems okay to me. I could tell that person A was upset and there was this little kind of shuffling going on. I could just feel it. I could tell that person B was just closing down, but later learned they had already been closed down. They didn't even get it. And there was another person who, I'm not putting the drama yet because I didn't really talk to them yet, who rushed in, said something, and rushed out like speed of light. Like, where did they come from? I didn't even know they were here. I didn't see them. People were very casual, by the way. So I'm sitting on a couch. There's people laying under the couch. People over there under a chair. People are on a chair. People back there behind a table. I mean, so I don't know. And the lights are down low. I don't know who's in the room and not in the room. We don't have like a forced meeting. I don't know who's there. Some people were downstairs watching TV. I don't know. But the enemy wants you to think that I know so you can be whatever needs to be shaken on you can be shaken. So we have, you know, visitation of somebody shaken that we didn't even know was a part of what was going on. And some things blew up there that God is working on. So this is all the fun you're having. So then I finally go to bed at about 2 after waiting for person C to show up and they never showed up. And I figure, well, I feel like they're okay, so. And they were okay the next morning when they came. So in the midst of all this, I had a really terrible dream that the enemy gave me that didn't seem so terrible. And let me tell this because I teach with stories. So just, if you have a dream that has an ungodly ending, even though the dream seems peaceful and happy and wonderful, but you know that the ending is unbiblical, you don't ignore that dream. Just because a dream doesn't make you feel afraid, doesn't make you go into a panic, doesn't mean that it's not from the enemy. Okay? And when the enemy gives you a dream, it's as powerful in your spirit as the Holy Spirit giving you a dream for the purposes of God. Okay? So when you get a dream from the enemy, even if it leaves you kind of, how will you know? You will remember it. You will always remember a dream that comes from God, and you will always remember a dream that comes from the enemy. If you don't, the Holy Spirit will remind you, or the enemy will remind you, because it's spiritual. A spiritual thing gets hooked in your spirit, and you'll remember it. Maybe not right away, but you will, okay? So, once I woke up from this dream, and it didn't make me feel panic, I realized that this dream was threatening, and it was threatening the life of someone that I really love. Not that it was somebody close to me. And the enemy had threatened this person in my life over and over. And we've done a lot of warfare and prayer for this person, for the enemy's threats not to come to pass. So instead of just saying, no, I changed the dream. So let me tell you really quickly, if you never heard the teaching, you change a dream the same way you take an imagination and you cast it down. You cast it down by not receiving it, but you replace it with truth. So if you have a dream about something bad happening in your spirit, you turn it to something good. You turn it for, so in this dream, I just turned it to this person, you know, being a powerful evangelist and going to their wedding and all kinds of stuff. Okay. So, but I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't want all the stuff that's going on around me to cause me to ignore this dream. Now, Lord, I have walked years to believe for victory in this situation of this person being threatened by the enemy with sickness and things. So show me, Lord, is there another door open? Is there a door open that I haven't seen? Is there a reason Satan could give me this dream and try to bring it to pass? So, you need to take this stuff serious. Where's that in scripture? Bible said, be sober because your enemy goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he might devour. What does be sober mean? It means take it seriously. Take it seriously. So I take it very seriously because I've seen sometimes when I haven't, the enemy attacks. So in the midst of all of this, I'm up after this meeting that was not very pleasant and there was a lot of stuff released in the air, not knowing for sure where person C even was. And then I have this dream that's very subtle. It's not like a heart. It's more like when we're saying, wants you to kind of just fall back to sleep and forget about it. So he cut the planet. So I said to the Lord, and this is the very humbling part. Okay, what is humbling? It's when God shows you and how the enemy has used you in ways you never knew you were even being used. That brings a brokenness and a contriteness and a true humility and real repentance. Okay? And does anybody know what I'm talking about? And it's very humbling. It's really very humbling when God calls you to be a teacher and then he's chosen you to be someone who humbles yourself before people, both here on the internet who you don't even know who they are, and then on the radio, and then in conference, and you just don't know how many people get to say, I knew that about her. Anyway, so I'm praying, and I'm saying, Lord, what is this about? And is it connected to that, that I felt at the meeting tonight? And I wanted to look for this scripture about know the schemes of the enemy. And so I pulled out my computer with the Bible on it because I didn't want to turn on lights and wake people up and everything. So I pulled out my computer and it just happened to open up to Galatians. And I thought, I wonder why it's on Galatians. So, and I started to read it and it says, who has bewitched you? What started out in the spirit has gone to the flesh. So I just got this feeling. I said, Lord, because there's been a lot of spirit feeling like fighting spirits of witchcraft coming against this ministry, coming against what God's calling us to. And so I asked the Lord, I said, bewitched, Lord, that's like witchcraft. That's a wrong spirit getting mixed in with the true. And it's all over the body of Christ. And more than likely, many of us have operated in it, not meaning to, unintentionally, and it doesn't freak God out. He just wants us to see it and hate it. So I said, well, what is this? What is this? I was like, Lord, what are you talking about? Where has there ever been mixture? I hate mixture. You know how much I want to see everything pure and holy, and I read your word, and I said, I don't understand. And how would that open the door for the enemy to attack this person I've been praying for? And watch God heal over and over. And see, God, I wasn't at a place to hear this sooner, okay? So there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. For those of you who still walk in condemnation, we have to get you free in the power of God, because it is so difficult to go through sanctification and being broken and made contrite so that God can use you and pour out of you and you can walk in his kind of love and his kind of power. It's so difficult because condemnation says, I can't hear this. I can't hear this. I don't want to hear this about me. I can't stand this. I don't want to hear this. And so you basically put up a stupor, or you put up a wall, or a spirit of timidity puts up a wall that says, I just can't handle this. And you run. You run from any place where there's godly direction, correction. You run from any way that God's trying to reach you, and you blame people, and you want to be alone, and you wonder why you want to go back into alcoholism, or you're running after a new group of friends, or you go from church to church to church. And it's not because the Holy Spirit's leading you. For some people it can be, but for you it's because I don't want anybody to get too close, because I don't want to see what's here. And the truth is, when you have condemnation, you still believe what the devil is saying about you. And God wants you to stop believing what he's saying about you. So here I am. The Lord had already shown me some things. He'd already shown me, while I've been praying, you know, who he wanted to bring here, and for me to quit thinking who I think should come here, and all these kind of things. And he's just showed me some idolatry in my heart about who I think I should be preaching to versus who he thinks I should be preaching to. And I just ask God to forgive me. And it has nothing to do with people. It's just not what I was thinking when the Lord called me to ministry. So I said, Lord, I just want your will, and I want your heart, and thank you for what you're doing. And so all this has been going on. So I said, Lord. And I took this very sober. I was very sober about this, because we're talking about somebody I really love that the enemy wanted to try to really hurt. And so first thing I said to the Lord, and this bewitching thing is jumping on me, but first thing I said to the Lord, is there any place that I have opened the door, because I know I have authority in the situation for this person's healing. I said, is there any place where I have opened the door for the enemy to attack this person again? And this voice spoke to me, which was not the Holy Spirit, but because of a spirit that I've operated in occasionally, and I didn't mean to, it was able to talk. It talked not in my heart, but outside, though. You know what I mean? You can kind of sense it outside. And it said that this person wasn't tithing. And it took my thinking back to the scriptures on tithing in Malachi that says that if you tithe, God will stop the devourer for you. And instantly, this fear tried to really hit me that, oh my goodness, there's nothing I can do to make this person tithe. I tithe, but this person is an adult at this point in their life. And they don't tithe. So there's nothing I can do about this person who I love, about this person I've been praying for, about this person that you've given me authority to pray in their life. And it was like this really horrible kind of thinking, like the word of God bringing death. You know what I mean? Where the Bible says the law brings death. So I said, God, show me. There's got to be mercy. There's got to be authority. This can't be you telling me that this is going to happen because this person's not tithing. And it caused some confusion. So come back next week. I'm just kidding. It was like, what? So, but it was real intense for me, okay? Because this is, many of you know who I'm talking about. So I'm like, God. And all of a sudden, this legalistic scheme of the enemy to try to let the devourer attack my dear, dear person I'm praying for was just almost, I couldn't even handle thinking, I can't sit back and just let this happen. So I said, God, teach me, show me. And I said, Lord, I don't understand. And then the Lord showed me this. And one reason I'm telling you all these steps, and I hope that's okay with you, because it helps you see that this is not the Christian walk. Da 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 da. Oh, yes, Jesus. Oh, I repent, Jesus. Oh, I see clearly now, Lord, where I was wrong. Okay, thanks. Wow. Ha ha. La da 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 da. No, when you're blind, you're blind. When you can't hear, you can't hear. When you have a spirit of error, it's a spirit of error. When there's a wrong spirit operating in your life that you think is God, it's going to have power in your life. And the Holy Spirit is just wanting to break through to you. And it's going to take fasting and prayer and seeking the Lord and staying up all night sometimes to pray. Can you guys get that? It's going to take a knowing that God is true and his word is true and this devil is a liar, and you are going to hear God and you are going to break through. And God is not leaving you there to say, ha ha, there's nothing you can do. I'm not talking to you. Too bad for you. That's not our God. Amen. It's like a parent who knows that the kid is crossing the street, and if they would just look your way, you would show them when to stop and when to come. But you can't get to them. And so you're trying to shout. You're trying to scream. Everything like, wait, let mom show you when to cross the street. Would you wait? Even to the point of risking your own life and Jesus dying. So that you could hear him. You don't know how much he wants to set you free. You have no idea how much he wants you to hear him when he's speaking to you. You have no idea how he wants to heal you, how he wants to heal relationships, how he wants to save your entire family. You have no idea how he is not at all concerned that he can't pay the bills. We just have to break through by seeking him with all of our hearts, our souls, and our mind, and our strength. And not believing he's not going to talk to us. Let somebody else do it. And so I'm just telling you this to say, you have to get alone sometimes. You have to not do things the way you know. You just have to go after God and know that he's speaking, but you're not able to hear. And he will show you why if you let him. If you quit believing the lies of the enemy. And so I'm like, Lord, I said, I don't understand this. And so I said, God, I just repent. If by preaching that, it could hurt my son or something. And the Lord began to show me. He said, because I finally was catching on. I was like, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't understand how preaching your word on tithing could somehow have a bewitchment. I don't understand what's going on. And then the Lord said to me, and he started talking kind of clear because I was really tuning into what he was saying. And he said, because first you get that thought like, well, are we not supposed to preach the word as it is because somebody might not obey it and then something bad might happen? Or are we just supposed to pretend your word's not true? Or is your word true? Or what is it? Have you ever had that where you go into that little second of confusion where you just wonder if what you believe and what you do is real? Does anybody else ever have that? You guys, we live in that. No, we'll break free from it. I had this moment. So I said, God, show me. And he said, when you have had a financial problem in the past, you have preached the teaching out of Malachi, which is truth, but your motive for preaching it was for people to tithe so you could pay the bills. And therefore, you released, not intentionally, but a spirit of fear of not tithing. Not the fear of the Lord that would make tithing a great thing. Are you getting this at all? And the Lord said, because you released that with the wrong spirit, because of your fear of not paying the bills. So I said to God, Lord, teach me. And he said, my word is true. But when it's used to intimidate or to bring fear of people into people's hearts not to obey because of what the enemy will do, it actually can release a curse over the people who receive it. So believe me, I broke the power of any curses I ever released over anybody in Jesus' name. And we all need to be sensitive to what spirit is operating without condemning the person. That's why we have the Holy Spirit in us. So I said, well, Lord, so we aren't supposed to, is it safer not to preach your word? And he said, well, not many should be teachers. And he said, but this word, you're receiving it. And now you're at a point in your walk with me to be accountable to understand this. And so whatever, it's never been able to be released because I didn't reveal it to you yet.